All right, good morning. On behalf of the Mission Committee here at Highview, and everyone here present this morning, and those who are worshiping with us via live stream, we want to welcome Paul and Charlotte back to Highview after, I think, a year and a half since you last visited us. But welcome, a warm welcome on this chilly day, so welcome to the frozen tundra. Paul and Charlotte have been serving as EPC missionaries in West Africa for many years, over 20 years total that they've served in countries like Benin, Togo, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Chad, Angola, Ivory Coast. If you don't know where those countries are, we do have a world map out in the narthex that you can check them out after worship. Much of their ministry has been in large urban areas, so urban evangelism has been their forte, outreach via Bible correspondence courses and radio ministry and outreach to women, so their ministry is profound. We have supported them as a congregation for the past 4 years. So we welcome you, Paul, to the pulpit. And also, happy birthday to both of you. They celebrated their birthdays on December 30th and 31st. So, welcome.
So, thank you for inviting us back. We really appreciate that you guys thought about us now, of course. I did not like the thing they said, the weather. I prayed for the Lord to help with this terrible weather that was coming in. And so he heard half of the prayer. So I'm very shallow to myself, are thankful. We are thankful for your prayers. You guys pray for us. You guys support us as a church, but also many individuals. You pray for us and you give so we could go and reach more people for Jesus. You know, actually, we were planning to travel tomorrow to Congo and Angola and Togo. We had all our plans that we would come here today, and from here, drive to Chicago, stay with our son, and then leave tomorrow. But then all the plans changed because Omicron is just messing up things in Angola. The country is shut. We can't get in. They told us, if you get in, you quarantine for 14 days. So we wanted to preach to people. We can't preach in the hotel. So so we're not going to go tomorrow. We will go back to Grand Rapids today and then wait until things calm down, and then we go. So we will be sending you a prayer list so you know when to start praying for us. We would like to go back there sometime in March. So because of COVID, we don't have our cards there. But if you don't get our prayer list, just talk to Brother David. He will connect you to us, or even Pastor Hess. They will find a way for you to get our emails. If you have an email, just give your email to them. They will send it to us, and then you can get prayers as we are over there, and you pray every day. Prayer for us is not just a little thing. It's everything. We need prayer because the areas there are just crazy, just difficult. So we appreciate that. Now, this is my first sermon of 2022. So, wow, I got a good one for you. So, but then I came here, last time I was here, there were no signs. I found they put X's there. I asked, what are these? Is it a new sign for liturgy? No. They said, you can't get out over there. You stay right here. So I'm going to try to stay right here so the people on the camera can catch my picture. So now, let's pray, and then we will start our sermon. Jesus, you are good. But we don't want just a Jesus that is theoretical. We want the real Jesus, the one who is alive, the one who lived in Israel, the one who spoke, the one who healed, the one who commanded the wind to stop, the one who told the weather in this area to change into good sunny day. We want the real Jesus, the one who is alive, the one who touches, the one who speaks, the one who understands and loves us. Father, I pray that as I open my mouth, that you would speak so that your people will receive your word of life. We are tired of religion, Lord. We want you. We need you, Father. And we pray that Holy Spirit, you may minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. In the Bible, when God wants to say something, teach something very, very deep, he uses metaphors. He uses images of daily realities, but that convey strong meaning. Metaphors. I repeat, when God wants to deliver something, he wants to tell us something that is so deep, he knows we won't understand it. So he goes through images. He goes through metaphors so that we can try to grasp the truth that he wants us to understand. In the text, there are two powerful metaphors. Jesus uses two powerful metaphors, images, to describe who we are as his followers, to give us identity, to give us the real identity. He says that we are salt and light. Wow. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So then, quickly, three questions to answer about this text. Why is he calling us salt and light? Why? Why is he using these two metaphors to describe us, his followers? Why are we salt and light? And then, second, what threatens our saltiness? And then, why do we have to shine? So that we go with the first one, that salt and light. Why are we salt and light? Now, in the time of Jesus, before I go to the time of Jesus, let's go back to reality right here. You know, we come from Africa. I always remember the shock that we had the first time we came to this country. We went to the store, Myers. I don't know, there are no Myers here. Well, we went to the store. We needed salt. They had 50 kinds of salt. So we didn't know what are we going to buy. This one has iodine. This one doesn't have. So we were like, okay, we just need salt. You know, so many kinds today. Well, during the time of Jesus, they didn't have those kind of stuff. They had one place to get salt, the Dead Sea. They got to get their salt there, but then it's so interesting. Salt was used at the time of Jesus for three things. One, for seasoning. That's universal. But second, as a medicine to heal wounds, because they didn't have all the good stuff we have today.
No, they use salt for taste, for, you know, your seasoning. You used salt also at the time of Jesus for healing, for wounds. And then the third reason, they didn't have refrigerators and coolers. And no, during the time of Jesus, if you want to conserve your meat, you put salt on it. Salt was used as seasoning, as medicine, and as something that preserves meat or from rotting. What? Why are you calling us salt of the earth? Because I want you, Jesus says, to season life, to make life taste good again. Because life during the time of Jesus was tasteless. We want, you are salt, Jesus says, because I want you to heal the society. Because of the time of Jesus, the place was a mess. The society was bad. Jesus says, I want you to be salt so you can keep it together so it doesn't really rot. Wow. Because see, he adds one more. But I don't want you just to be salt. I also want you to be light so that you can help people see the way and walk. Because see, look at all this nice electricity and stuff. I grew up in a place without, in a house without electricity, without water, without nothing. We went to bed at 7 because it was dark. You know, the light, if somebody has a little candle over there, you could see it because that's the only light. Light gives direction. Light allows people to see and function. Jesus says you are salt, but I want you also to be light so that through you people can see how to live. So then I asked, well, okay, Jesus, Matthew chapter 5 is your first sermon, really, if you want to put it in there. I know it's in Luke 4, but Matthew 5 is the real at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. These people who are following Jesus really didn't go through catechism yet. They really, really don't know him well. I know they call them disciples. But they are at the beginning. How can you just tell them, you are salt, you are light, through you, you can change the country. You can change, actually, the world. Jesus, this is premature. They have not learned nothing yet. Don't call them salt. They don't qualify to be salt. And Jesus says, no. They did the only one thing that counts. They came after me. They came to me. They followed me. They believe in me. That's enough. Because the moment you believe in me, I put two things in you. One I put in your heart. The other one I put in your mind. That's why I call you salt and light. In your heart, the moment you believe, the moment you follow, I, Jesus, put in your heart, love. My love, the love I have, I put a little bit of it in your heart so that you are able to love God, to love yourself, and to love others. The salt you hear about is a metaphor for the sweetness of God's love in us. Understand, it's not your love. It is his love in you so that you are able to love God, to love yourself, and to love others. You know, it's weird. The toughest person you have to love, do you know who that person is? Yourself. People are cruel against themselves. That's why they can't love other people. Because they don't love themselves. They always find fault with them. This is not right. My nose doesn't look right. My head is too big or too small. It's always like that. Jesus takes his love, puts it in you so that you can love. That's why it doesn't matter if you came yesterday. He just puts it there. In you who believe, God has put his own love so that you can love him, you can love yourself, you can love others. But then he doesn't only put love in you, he also puts his spirit in your mind so that you can be transformed. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And then he told them, don't go out, wait for the Holy Spirit before you become my witness. You cannot lead the world when you are yourself empty, when your mind is not open. He calls us light because he is the light who is in our mind. He makes us see what other people can see. People get frustrated. These people don't understand. They can't understand. They are in darkness. We understand because we see. That's why he calls us light. Now understand something. When Jesus calls you something, you are it. You don't become it. You are it. When Jesus calls you something, when Jesus gives you an identity, you are it. In this text, Jesus gives us an identity, salt and light. Maybe I will become, after I follow my resolution, New Year, my resolution, I'm going to eat less ice cream and then less this. Eat your ice cream, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need resolution. He is the one who is speaking to you. You are salt. You are light. What? Yes, I declare so, says Jesus, because I put my love in your heart and I put my spirit in your mind. What is the first thing that the devil goes against Christians? It's not their money. It's their identity. If he strips you of your identity, you don't know who you are. What did the devil go against in the Garden of Eden? It's Adam and Eve's identity. If you can eat this, then you will become like God. Because right now, your identity is not good enough. What did the devil go against Jesus in the desert, even before he preached a sermon? If you are a son of God, you are not. But during the baptism, God said loud, this is my son. And the devil says, no, 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 you are not the son of God. If you are, then do this stupid, dumb thing I tell you. The first thing the devil goes against you is your new identity in Christ. God calls you salt, and you say, no. God doesn't know how bad I am. No, you are salt. You are light. Through you, God wants to heal this country. Through you, not somebody else. God wants to bring taste, healing to America. Vision, revival. Through you and through me. So, you know, I notice Christians have what I call, they suffer from negative faith. When the Bible calls you, you are a wretched. Yes, I am. You are a crooked. Yes, I am. But when the Bible says you are saint, I'm not sure. That's negative faith. But I'm telling you today, exercise your positive faith. Jesus says, I am the salt of the earth, not of America only, but the earth, the whole place. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. So let's exercise that together a little bit, because sometimes faith comes, you know, sometimes faith comes from hearing and then we have to confess. So let's say together, just calmly, like little kids, I am the salt of America. Let's say that together out loud. I am the salt of America. And then let's say this calmly like little kids. I am the light of America. Let's say that. I am the light of America. You know what? It is true. Jesus says you are. I am the salt of America. I am the light of this country. This country will taste good again. This country will be healed. This country will be together because of me. Because of what Jesus has put in my heart and in my mind. Love and spiritual power. You know, it's so hard to convince Christians that they are so powerful. That's why the devil never stops hunting them. The devil is scared of you. Scared. That's why he lies to your mind all the time so you don't use your power against him. I remember one day I was doing evangelism, mass evangelism in Central African Republic. In the stadium. The stadium had 15,000 people. Four. I was preaching there. You know, I was in what? 2009, I think. I was preaching there, preaching and then 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord right there. They were coming down from the stands to the middle of the stadium. I felt great. And then all of a sudden, a 22-year-old girl from the crowd of new converts, she was just demon-possessed right there. And she stood up and was running my direction to just squash me. There were big men in the security who kind of tried to get her. She threw them all away, and she was coming my direction. I said, I'm tiny and bitty. She's going to just destroy me. These young, you big people can't hold her. And she was coming my way. I stood up there. I panicked. And the Holy Spirit said, speak. And I said, well, in the books they said we have power, but I don't feel it. You know. And I just said to her, in Jesus' name, stop. She's just collapsed right there. It's like she hit a wall. She just fell. And boom. I stood out there. I was shaking. I said, whoa, this power works. Next time I'm going to use it on Charlotte if she bothers me at home. Period. I tried at home. It doesn't work. Couldn't zap her, you know. Guys, we have power. By the simple fact that we believe in Jesus and he calls us light. He put it in us. Next time when you pray, pray like a child. Next time when you serve, serve like a child. The reason you are powerless is because actually you doubt too much. You want to rationalize everything. Because see, if you really want to be salt, because you see, you have to shovel your neighbors. No. If I was your neighbor, pastor, you will suffer. I will never shovel. No. I won't help you out. Nope. It doesn't depend on what I do. It depends on who I am. What Jesus says I am. I, Paul Mampindi, I am the salt of America. I am the light of this country. I believe it and I live that way. But then there is something. Why most Christians don't feel powerful? Why don't Christians feel loving? Why are we full of hatred? Why do we feel weak? Very simple. Jesus says in verse 13, but if salt loses its saltiness, there is a danger of losing saltiness. I said, how can salt not be salt again? Well, in Israel, all the salt came from the Dead Sea, as I told you. But the salt wasn't crystals of gypsum. It's like a little rock like that. All the salt was inside the crystal, the gypsum. Now, they would take the crystals home. And then if they want to cook, they just take some and put. But if you put it in an area that has a lot of humidity, what happens is the salt literally seeps out of the gypsum, of the crystals. You are left with crystals, but they are unsalty. If you put it there, nothing. Because moisture has taken all the salt out. You still have the stuff, but they are not salty anymore. That's what happens with our hearts when unforgiveness gets in. There is not a single Christian without Christian love. We all have the love of God in us. The only thing that happens, it seeps out through one sin only, unforgiveness. There are no two things threatening your power. One. Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most grow cold. Because of the increase in wickedness in the world, the love of most grow cold. Your heart just does not love anymore. I'm tired of these liberals. I'm just not going to talk to them anymore. I'm tired of these conservatives. I'm not going to talk to them anymore. I'm tired of these independents. I'm not going to talk to them anymore. Period. Okay. Your love grows what? Cold. That's it. Those liberals, they don't want to believe. They don't want to make this country great again. I'm done with them. These conservatives, they think they are the ones who live in heaven. I'm not going to, no more. These people don't want to get vaccinated. Let's just, no more. These people get too much vaccine on them. You know, I've been married to John or to Susie for many years. He does the same thing over and over. You know what? I don't want a divorce, but I don't care. We're going to live in the same house, eat the same ice cream, but don't care. You get tired of people who do the dumb thing over and over. I read a sign. You can't get dumb out of people. I read it in a truck, something like that. You get tired of sinners, so you shut your heart down. You are done. Jesus is living in a time when Romans are killing them. By the way, he will be killed by Romans. And on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. Wow. You know, the whole Christianity thing is about God's forgiveness. For God, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody here has a problem because his heart or her heart has grown cold. Your marriage is inexistent. You stay together, but you feel nothing. Because your wife or your husband has been doing the dumb thing over and over. You know what? You're tired, but in your family, you don't divorce. So he's there like a piece of furniture. Let him collect dust. Your neighbors. If you are a black person in this country and you can't love a white person, you are in big trouble. If you are a black Christian and every time you see a white person around, you feel bad, you have a problem. If you are a white Christian, you see somebody who is not white like you, you feel bad, you have a problem. We have to love. It doesn't matter how crooked they are. We are crooked together with them. This is a new year. Somebody here has to go and reconcile with somebody somewhere. For the power to flow, you have to let go. Remember that sentence. For the power of the Spirit to flow throughout you, you have to let go of the anger, the hurt, and the pain you have been carrying for so many years. This is the year of you being salt. You have to let somebody go. You have to forgive. And then he says, you don't light a light and just cover it. It's not only about forgiving people. It's also about letting the Holy Spirit lead you. You know, I don't know. I just have all the best answers in the world. I noticed. If only everybody could listen to me. I've been trying to convince my wife to listen to me for years. The world will be a better place because I have all the answers. I'm done with my wife. I convinced her to listen to me. Now I moved on to God. I'm trying to convince God to let me rule the world for him, to make it better. I don't listen. I tell God what to do. I tell the Holy Spirit how to talk to me. I don't listen. The power will not flow as long as we interfere with the Holy Spirit. It's not that you don't love God. You do, actually, too much, to the point of counseling him, of telling him how to run your life, how to fix the world. The light stops shining the moment you put a ball on it. The Holy Spirit will not use you as long as you are putting a lid on him, as long as you are interfering with his work in your life. You don't lack the Spirit. You have the Spirit, you have the love, but you don't listen. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. That's how I was designed. But for me to learn power, I had to shut my mouth and then pay attention. This is a new year. God wants to use you in a powerful way because you are salt and light. America is done listening to talks about Christianity. Americans are fed up with the Christianity of the talk. Now they are waiting to see salt and light. They want to see Jesus through you. They want to see how tender your heart is. Even when you totally disagree with somebody, you love them. They can see that same love that was in Jesus through you. That same power that was in Jesus displayed in you. Because it is there. I'm sending you home today. I'm not adding anything. I'm just asking you, please, get out of God's way so God can use you. Get out of the way. Stop telling God how to run your life and start listening, because you are the future of this country. You are salt and light. You know, today I have permission to preach longer because the worship team was not there. Thank you. I have all the time for myself. Okay. I am the salt of America. I am the light of America. I am the future of this country because of what Jesus has done in my life. Okay, we will finish together. I know you are good people. So let's drill it down, because that will be the end of the sermon. Mrs. Block is cooking good food there. I don't want it to burn, so I have to stop it. Let's say together, I am the salt of America. Let's go. I am the salt of America. I am the light of America. Let's go. I am the light of America. I am the future of America. I am the future of America. Amen.